Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 24. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 2 below. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly clear tomorrow, highs level off around 34. Cloudy Thursday, decreasing clouds by Friday. Upper 30s Thursday, low 30s by Friday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 19 degrees.
Kansas Information Network News. I'm Karen Johnson. Although conditions have improved, Governor Laura Kelly has decided the capital city needs another snow day. Roxanne Stewart reports.
The January 5th 14-inch snowfall is now the third highest single-day snow event ever for the city. The governor issued an order on Monday stating although crews are making progress, roads are still hazardous and temperatures are dangerously cold. Tony Trower, deputy director of public works, said 2011 was the last big snow he remembers. All state office buildings in the city will be closed today to allow crews to continue to work. City employees should check city social media or contact their supervisors for more information.
Crews responded to a house fire early this morning in central Topeka. The blaze was reported at a residence on Southwest Fillmore. Officials did say all of the home's residents were able to get out of the residence before firefighters arrived. This is Kansas Information Network News.
The Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed listing the monarch butterfly as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Shelby Hagenauer, Senior Director of Government Affairs for Farm Bureau, says this designation is a mixed bag for agriculture.
For example, this proposal, routine agricultural and ranching practices are allowed with some limitations.
Hagenauer says the listing isn't set in stone, as the designation still has to go through a 90-day comment period.
On March 12th, the public comment period closes, and then the Fish and Wildlife Service takes all those comments and goes back and either decides to change the proposal. They can change how they want to implement the proposal. So there's some flexibility for the service next year as they look at finalizing this.
Listen again here for more from the Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
Good afternoon. I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News, brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. The state of Kansas ended December 2024 with total tax collections at $1.1 billion, and that's $66.7 million, or 6.3% above the estimate. Total tax collections are up 8.1% from December 2023. Governor Kelly said, as she's highlighted before, even though our state's revenues are healthy, they must practice fiscal responsibility, and that's how they will continue to maintain economic growth and preserve Kansas's fiscal stability. Individual income tax collections were $451.5 million, $31.5 million above the estimate, and up 13.7% from December 2023. And corporate income tax collections were $275.4 million. That's $45.4 million above the estimate, and up 16.8% from December of 2023. Combined retail sales and compensating use tax receipts were $285.4 million. That's $13.6 million below the estimate and down $17 million from December of last year. The Kansas Department for Children and Families reminds Kansans who are needing assistance with winter energy bills that they can apply for its Low Income Energy Assistance Program, or LEAP, and the applications will be accepted until 5 p.m. on March 31, 2025. LEAP provides a one-time per-year benefit to help qualifying households to pay their winter heating costs, whether the home is heated with electricity, natural gas, propane, or other home heating fuels. In 2024, over 40,000 Kansas households received an average benefit of $645. To qualify, households must have an adult at the address who's responsible for the home's heating costs, and applicants must be at or below 150% of the federal poverty level. The level of benefit received varies according to the household income, the number of people living in the home, the type of residence, the type of heating fuel, and the utility rates. Applications can be accessed online at dcf.ks.gov by clicking the Apply for Services button on the top right side of the website. LEAP applications will be accepted until March 31, 2025, and you can learn more about LEAP in Kansas, including frequently asked questions, other community resources, and the complete schedule of LEAP application events at dcf.ks.gov. Lieutenant Governor and Secretary of Commerce David Tolan encourages job seekers and employers who are interested in health care and social services to take advantage of this month's virtual job fair that's hosted by KansasWorks from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, January 8th. Tolan said Kansas health care and social service entities are searching for new staff, whether you are entry-level or an experienced professional looking for a new opportunity. He said you can take this chance to connect with leading employers in healthcare and other vital industries and explore the open opportunities to further your career in a caring profession. The virtual job fair allows for anyone searching for a new position to fill out applications, chat live, and interview virtually with participating employers. And the virtual job fair portal features helpful information such as a job seeker training video, a list of participating employers, and channels for the attendees to register and log in. Job seekers are also encouraged to dress professionally, as employers may request to engage in a video interview. Candidates can participate through any digital device, and any individual with a disability may request accommodations by contacting their nearest workforce center at 877-509-6757 prior to the event. Registration is required to participate in virtual job fairs regardless of your previous participation. And to register or for more information, you can visit KansasWorks.com. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Happy holidays from Norton County Hospital and Clinics. The holidays can bring extra calories and stress, but staying active can help balance it all. This season, we encourage you to give yourself the gift of health. Try indoor workouts, outdoor walks, dancing, or winter sports. Small changes like taking the stairs also add up. Stay active this season for better health and less stress. Let's make this winter your healthiest yet.
The United States Department of Agriculture, or USDA, has chosen Kansas as one of 25 states and U.S. territories to participate in a new pilot program. The USDA said the pilot program under the Single Family Housing Home Repair Loans and Grants Program will help homeowners in rural areas more quickly make needed repairs to their homes in areas placed under a presidential disaster declaration or who live in rural partner network communities. Many contractors require 50% upfront before ordering materials and work begins. So under the pilot program, suppliers will be paid directly or to the contractor after receiving receipt of a paid invoice. The USDA reports that the new pilot program will help homeowners make needed repairs or improvements to their homes while preventing fraud, and under the Single Family Housing Home Repair Loans and Grants Program, low-income homeowners can receive loans for up to $40,000, and those over 62 can receive grants of up to $10,000. The 20-year term loans have a 1% interest rate, and for those over 62, the loans can be combined with the grant for a maximum lifetime total of $50,000. For more information about the program or to apply, you can contact your local USDA Rural Development Office or visit rd.usda.gov/ks. Smoky Hills PBS invites young writers from grades 1 through 5 to unleash their creativity, craft an original story, and submit it for a chance to win exciting prizes and recognition as the PBS Kids Writers Contest for 2025 is officially underway and will end on February 24, 2025. The PBS Kids Writing Contest provides a platform for young storytellers to express their ideas, develop their writing skills, and bring their imaginations to life. And stories can take any form, like adventurous, funny, magical, or heartfelt. Completed stories can be submitted by teachers, parents, grandparents, or even aunts and uncles, and submissions are accepted electronically or by mail, making it easy for everyone to participate. Just visit SmokyHillsPBS.org for the contest rules and a printable entry form. According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council meeting that was held on January 1st, the Norton City Council met in regular session on Wednesday, January 1st at 5:30 p.m. with Mayor Jerry Jones presiding, and the council members present were Andrew Black, Dale Jacobson, Jason Jones, Gerald Jones, Dennis Gilhausen, and Jim Miller, along with others to present business or observe. Chief of Police Jay Sharp reported on department activities, and City Administrator James Maru stated that he would like to look at increasing wages for the temporary employees. Dale Jacobson scheduled a Parks Committee meeting for February 3rd at 4 p.m. to discuss the wages. A motion was made by Gerald Jones and seconded by Dale Jacobson to adopt Resolution 2-2025, which is a resolution regarding third-party use of the city impound lot. The vote was taken and the motion carried. A motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Gerald Jones to waive the second formal reading of Ordinance 1772, which is an ordinance amending Chapter 15, Article 3, Sections 5 and 6, pertaining to minimum electrical rates. The vote was taken and the motion carried. A motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Gerald Jones to waive the first formal reading of Ordinance 1773, which is an ordinance amending Chapter 15, Article 2, Sections 13 and 14 pertaining to water rates. The vote was taken and the motion carried. Jason Jones stated that there are a few major street signs that are not turned correctly, specifically at State and Washington, State and Main, and State and Lincoln, and James stated that he would have the Public Works crew fix them. Jason stated there will be a Personnel Committee meeting at 3:30 p.m. on February 27, 2025, and Gerald Jones scheduled a Public Safety Committee meeting at 4 p.m. on January 7th. A motion was made by Dennis Gilhausen and seconded by Andrew Black to adopt Resolution 1-2025, which is a resolution to waive the annual requirement of generally accepted accounting principles and fixed asset accounting. The vote was taken and the motion carried. A motion was made by Dennis Gilhausen and seconded by Dale Jacobson to approve appropriating Ordinance 1 as a whole, and the motion carried. And the council then adjourned at 6 p.m. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all of your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. One of the most recognizable aspects of the time of the 32nd Ag Secretary has been presentation on a circular economic model for rural America. But what are some of the aspects behind this presentation? Rod Bain has the details.
How will Tom Vilsack's service as the 32nd U.S. Secretary of Agriculture be best recalled? Perhaps his efforts to promote a circular economic model to agriculture and rural America, best reflected through the use of a whiteboard diagram. A message refined not just by multiple presentations over a three-year period, but as the secretary notes, through the feedback and guidance of wife Christy in using examples to present his case.
Turns out we've lost a heck of a lot of farms, 544,970 of them. So I'm telling my wife this. She said, well, that sounds like a lot of farms, but can you put it in the context of something that people understand? How many farmers is that? Like, is that the number of farmers that are in Iowa today? And I start totaling up. How many states does it take to get to 544,000? Well, it turns out 10 states. People go, oh, well, this is something. Now I've gotten people's attention.
And he adds promotion of a circular economy to benefit all of agriculture is a mission he expects to continue in the days and months to come after leaving office. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The National Corn Growers Association gathered its leadership on Capitol Hill to welcome members of the new Congress as they were sworn into office. Kenneth Hartman says they're here to congratulate our friends and allies who were reelected to Congress and introduce themselves to be sworn in for the first time. Kent Hartman is the president of the National Corn Growers Association. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association congratulated Speaker of the House Johnson for his successful reelection to the 119th Congress as well. You're listening to Ag News here on the Kansas Ag
ValleyVet.com. Cattlemen, now is a good time to add a Powder River tub analysis system to your handling facilities. Built tough for the long duration, you will appreciate the convenient features of Powder River equipment made in the USA since 1938. From slant bar feeder panels, heavy-duty gates and corral panels to squeeze chute choices for the ranch, your cattle working hours will become more enjoyable and much more efficient. For tax planning purposes, many producers are now upgrading their cattle handling equipment as a prudent investment in their future operation. View the strong green line of Powder River equipment at valleyvet.com. There you'll find exceptional value and a large selection of meds and more shipped fast and free on most orders over $75. Find your ranching needs at valleyvet.com or shop their store in Marysville.
Valleyvet.com, valleyvet.com,
Valleyvet Supply.
Kansas Agriculture Network Weather.
This is meteorologist Steve Hamilton for the Kansas Agriculture Network. The cold air will hang around our state today with a warm-up due tomorrow in the western counties, but chilly air will stay in place in eastern Kansas all the way into the weekend. Low pressure is off to the west, and that'll move some clouds over our state today, but we will also have some sunshine. By tomorrow, a low-pressure lee trough will form over eastern Colorado, and as usual, that'll boost the temperatures for about the western third of our state. Cold air will stay in the lower elevations in eastern Kansas with teens and 20s tomorrow. Statewide today, it looks like we'll be staying in the 20s with a few clouds. On the map, not too much going on for us. We have high pressure from the northern plains sliding down into our area with that cold air. That'll keep things chilly for the central plains today. There'll also be a little bit of cloud cover at the mid and high levels with low pressure over eastern Colorado. Very cold again overnight. Clear skies allowing the temperatures to drop into the single digits for most areas, but it will be colder in north-central Kansas. Our lows getting down to about minus 5 or even lower. We'll have light wind and clear skies. Tomorrow morning, high pressure is centered right over Kansas. A low-pressure lee trough will develop by about midday over eastern Colorado, so highs will be back in the 30s for our western high plains. The denser cold air will stay put in the lower elevations of our eastern counties. This afternoon in northwestern Kansas, mid-20s, 0 to 5 above for the overnight lows. Low 20s north-central tonight, 0 to 5 below. Upper teens and low 20s in the northeast counties, around 0 overnight. Low to mid-20s in the southwest counties. Tonight, we're in the single digits. Low to mid-20s south central, 0 to 5 above for the overnight hours. Low to mid-20s southeast and single digits overnight. This is the Kansas Agriculture Network.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.